We are fishers of men. We are fishers of? Look at the person next to you, Mwambie, we are fishers. I am a fisher of men. Come on, tell them like you mean it. If you really truly believe you are a fisher of men. Oh, yeah. What kind of men? I don't know what kind of men you are going to fish. But I know that when we were saying we are fishers of men, I know you might have heard many accents. Some people say, I am a fisher of men. Others say, I am a fisher of men. We used to have a lot of fun with this. Especially when we were singing, I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. You know? And then we switch into Swahili. And then we say, Nitawafanyawa. And then some people were going, Nitawafanyawa vivu wa watu. You know, they change. I'm going somewhere with this. Then we'll switch into the Kikuyu language and we'll sing, Negamotua ategiado, ategiado. Ategiado, negamotua, ategiado. And I know you have your version where you come from, how you used to sing it. And you see now, there could be all sorts of things. People can be called with one voice, one call, and they see different, or they see it differently, or they react differently, or they respond differently. When somebody says that, I will make you fishers of men, and then you say, I will make you fishers of men. Of course, I want to be very fair to my brethren from Nyeri, okay? When you say fishers. There's a word, features, in English, isn't it? F-E-A-T-U-R-E, features. I'll make you features of men. If God makes you features of men, what would you be? You'll be like an object. Like out there now, you know, when you get out and you look at the scenery, that's a feature, right? It's a kind of a picture. Now you become fano. You become, a picture of a model or something. Of men. Really, you are not the real thing, not the real deal. You are just a picture or a model. If somebody says that I am a fisher of men, Yaminwa, Ibinjo, if you hear that, then you go into the dictionary and find the word fisher. F-I-S-S-U-R-E. What does that mean? A crack. You know, something that breaks, is a crack, is like a, you know, something that is a gap, basically. All right? Then you hear somebody else saying, I will make you filchers of men. There's a word filcher, F-I-L-C-H-E-R, filcher. That means stealing systematically small pieces is something that we call pilferaging. You steal a little bit by bit, like the way people go into a, you go to a store and you pickpocket something, you steal something and you put in your pocket one by one until your house you have enough cutlery. That's what I'm talking about. Or you visit somebody and every time you visit you walk out with a spoon. That is filtering. If somebody says that, I will make you wavuvi, wawatu. What does that mean? I'll make you fishers of men. What if they say, I will make you wavivu, wawatu? I'll make you lazy, slothful, sloppy people. All right? And then if you are called to say, I will make you a tegiado, and then you become the stumbling block. Do you see now all these things? They really apply. And we have them every day in the church. Unfortunately. We have the real fishers of men who are really going out there, and they have bought a boat, they have bought a fishing rod, and they have the bait, and they are able to go out there at the corner of the street and fish for men. But there are yet others that are busy at night waiting and waylaying others so that they may clobber them, yet they say that we are fishers of men. Kumbe ni kutega watu. There are others who are just there to break what has been done. They are fishers. Every time something good happens, they are ready and very dedicated, and they are 100% committed and zealous of their mission to make sure that that does not stand. The fellowships suffer, the churches suffer. We used to sing a song that the church will not be destroyed by people from outside, but some of whom are within. It is built by the people, but also it is destroyed by the people from within. Fishers who just create separation, who cause people to fight and discord and all that. And my daughter had a Bible verse from school that was saying about, you know, people who are creating discord. How God hates those people. The Bible says that there are six things that shake the earth, and there are seven that I hate. And one of them, people who sow discord among his brethren. And they are there, many of them, breaking families, breaking churches, breaking fellowships, breaking ministries. If we hear a ministry have just started right in our neighborhood, we don't want to hear that. Well, we go kitini chini, we want to destroy that. Let me tell you, when we started this fellowship, now going 12 years, we didn't have any other fellowship or ministry around here. We used to go to DC Fellowship. And we could have stood here and say that we declare that no church can stand in this area. We are here, we were here first, and therefore we can do whatever we need to bring down anything that is tearing up. But God told us this, that this being a fellowship is not a church. It is a place where people gather so that they may be sensitized to what is happening in the community, that they may seek the face of God, and also they seek a home church for themselves. Because there were many people who are not going to church. And we see that we are going to start this fellowship in order for this fellowship to help people to go back to church. So if you have not been helped to go back to church, then I feel that the fellowship has not really done its work. Come on, buona sifiwe. I'm trying to tell you that the policy of this fellowship is every member, every leader, you got to be dedicated to a home church somewhere, so that when you come here, you're not just coming here to hide. Buona sifiwe. You are not here to hide. Okay, let me go to the word so that I know my time is running. Okay, let's look at the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 16, and I'm going to read up to verse 20. Mark, it is in the New Testament. Don't spend too much time looking for it in the Old Testament. And it is right after Matthew and right before Luke. Mark chapter 1, I will not be here too long, so I'll be very, very quick. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16, and I'm going to read through verse 20. It says this, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father's Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Jesus was beginning his ministry. And as we know, when you're beginning a ministry, it requires that you start working towards building, not necessarily a following, but the people that you're going to be working with. When we began this fellowship, that's exactly what we started doing, looking for people that are going to stand together with the leadership that was there at that time to be able to reach more people in our community. And one of the things that we did was to make sure that for every office that we have, or for every person that we have, we want one office to be manned by that person. That's why Patricia said that we have about 26 leaders here. And all the 26 leaders, none of them is holding two offices. So if you are a leader in the women department, you cannot be a leader in the singles, or you cannot be a leader in the main committee. And that has helped us to spread the work so that it may work effectively and efficiently. Things have really not been as easy as we wanted them to be, but we thank God because the work has been well spread. Buona sifia sana. And that way now, Jesus was walking around after he has been baptized by John. This was a number of months after John had baptized him. And he came to the Sea of Galilee, and when he was walking on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, I am very sure that he saw so many people who were gathered there. It probably was a beach where people, some were bathing, others were just playing beach volleyball, others were just sunbathing there, and others were busy mending their nets, others were launching now into the sea to be able to go and bring another haul of fish. There are many people who were in the shores of that lake. And Jesus was just walking around, seeing all this multitude, seeing all these people. But he came specifically to two men that were busy hauling back their fish slot. And these men were Peter, that time he was not Peter, Simon, and his brother Andrew. And when he came to Peter, to Simon and his brother Andrew, these are the words that he told them: follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This man did not even hesitate. They left everything and they followed Jesus. And while they were walking, they came to another group of people, and he saw two men who were busy with their father, and asked them the same: come, follow me. And immediately they left their father. One of the things that I'd like us to bring to our attention is that when God is calling people into the ministry, he calls specific people. I am not going to tell you the characteristics of the specific people, but I do know for sure that there is something that he is looking. And when he is looking for that kind of people, he will go directly to them and pick them and put them into the service. Praise the name of Jesus. There's one thing that I am assured of, that when God is picking people into the service, he does not just pick anybody. For this reason, there are people that when they are picked and they are put in the ministry, one of the things that they do is to try to wreck the ministry. One of the things that they do is to come and rock the boat. One of the things that they do is to try to block the work that is being done. One of the things that they do is to bring negativity into the situation. The environment becomes so negative, such that you will not even be able to take a step. When you say, let's go this direction, we are going to paint the walls blue, they want red. And they will not tell you the reason why. And then they bring discord in the church because people did not listen to them. They want people to attend their baby showers. If you don't come to our baby shower, wachana na your church. Watch your fellowship. Shindwe. They don't care. Even a birthday, they can't come. And those are the people that immediately you put them to service, the boat starts wrecking completely. But Jesus knew these people. At least I know he had met with them. They had known Jesus. They had watched him because Andrew, the brother of Simon, was John's disciple, John the Baptist. And when Jesus was walking in the crowd after he had been baptized by John the Baptist, John pointed out Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And immediately Andrew and another man started following Jesus. And when Jesus looked back, he saw them and he asked, "Who are you looking for? Or what do you want?" And he said that, "Master or Rabbi, where do you live?" And he said, "Come and see." When he had gone with them, they spent the whole day with Jesus. They observed him, where he was going, how he was talking to people, how he was reacting to things, how everything they observed. And as soon as they bade bye-bye to Jesus that evening, the Bible says that Andrew went one by one to his brother, Simon. And he said, "Simon, come, we have found the one that the prophets spoke about." Praise the name of Jesus. This man was totally convinced that this is the man that we have been waiting for. This is the prophesied king of Jews that the world has been looking forward to. And so Simon did not even question. He followed Andrew and they met Jesus. After that, they went back to do their businesses. And when they were doing their businesses, that is the time that Jesus came. They had had an encounter with Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you are not supposed to be left the same way you were. Hallelujah. It is going to convince you. That encounter will convince you that you are now destined for greater things. Not just the things that you are known to be handling. You are not supposed to be someone who hesitates. Because when they encountered Jesus, they knew that as soon as he calls, we will be ready. Hallelujah. I don't know how you are yourself, but I believe that that's exactly what God wants us. People who have an encounter with Jesus, they completely get transformed. Hallelujah. They were gossipers, they become worshipers. Praise the name of Jesus. If they have to gossip about somebody, they gossip about Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you such a wonderful person who tells people about other things, other people? Tell them about that one man. Hallelujah. Because when you have an encounter, you become a candidate for service. I told you I will not tell you the characteristics. But I am telling you that if you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, if you become one that is attached to him, if you spend a minute, 2 minutes, 1 hour, 3 hours, 1 day, 2 days, a month or so with Jesus, you become a different person. Ready to be used by God. Until you have that encounter. Andrew and Simon, his brother, had an encounter with Jesus. I don't believe that they would have actually responded to him so quickly. For just imagine this. Somebody walks into your office or wherever you work. And then they tell you, "Come, I will make you the king," or "I'll make you whatever it is that they tell you, I'll make you." Would you just walk out? You want to know what kind of person is this? Who is this? What does he have? What can he give? The things that these people did is to just leave everything. I want to move very quickly. The Bible says that when he called them, they left immediately. Jesus had a reason for reaching out to these people because he had an encounter with them and he knew these are the kind of people that you'd like him to serve with him. He called them personally And then when he called them personally, they left everything that they were doing. I'd like you to know one thing, that when these people were called, they were not idling around in the wilderness. In the shores of the lake. They were not sunbathing like everybody else. They were not throwing their nets in a sporting version. What they were there for, they were there because they were fulfilling their duties. And God is not looking for people who are idlers. Buona si fesana. We were talking some times back somewhere, and we're saying that, you know, for example, now in Kenya, if you don't do very well in high school, what did they tell you should do? You can join the army, right? You join the army, or you join the police force. And then we have police who really do not understand the laws, and all they do is wanapiga tu kavunja. Because these are people who have no understanding. The people who will just while away time. People who will just spend their time doing nothing. Idlers, gossipers, and all those kind of people. Those are the people that are, Jesus did not come to the people who were idling. Simply because you have nothing to do, I am starting a ministry, why don't you join me and then we do it? At least you have something to do. You're doing nothing. These people were busy. They were vocational men. They were hardworking people. Peter had a big enterprise of, I believe that it was probably Andrew and Simon Fisheries Limited. And they will bring in their haul every morning, and they will put their fish and hang them. And people will come and buy. He will take the fish to the market. Maybe he was a distributor. He was a Simon and Andrew distributors of fish. And John and his brother, they were the same. They were doing the same kind of thing. They were busy people. They had enterprises. They were developmental minded. They were not spending time just sitting around. Buona si fesana. God is not looking for idlers. He's not looking for charlatans. He's not looking for people who have nothing to do. He's looking for people who are busy. Serving, praise the name of Jesus. And I don't understand why many people just sit and say that, oh, I have a job, I have a school, I can't come for prayer. Oh, I can't. I say, shut up. Because I know these things are possible. Because when you're serving God, He will make everything possible and fit in. When we began this fellowship, I had just gotten married. I was just getting to learn my wife. And I was just getting to learn how to do ministry in America. I was in school full time. And I worked full time because I couldn't afford not to go to school and work full time. So I had 4 jobs full time. I had a wife that I had to really please and run. And that was the hardest of all. Because I really needed to be careful, and I wanted to assure myself that I did this for, you know, nimejifunga, sio. And then I had my regular job, and I had a school, and I had the ministry. And now reaching out to people, trying to find out what kind of people that we are, and learning them, it was a hard thing. So if somebody tells me that, oh, I got this, I got the other, and so I can't, I say that you really need to know the God that is calling you. He will make all these things possible for you. He will provide everything that you need. If I did not, okay, yeah, you will go to school and you pay last semester's school fees this semester, right? And sometimes you are still not able to do that. Then they take you to the collection agency. The next thing you see your name in the, you know, in the court board somewhere because you are not able to pay. But I would tell you that when I finished my school, I didn't have any debt. And I was an international student. Not because I had a best job, but I knew that my God that I serve, He will not forsake me. He is a God that called me, and He knew what He was doing. If you will dedicate your life to Christ and serve Him unwaveringly, He will dedicate Himself to you. He called the men who were busy. And he said, this vocation that you have, I can turn it and use it in order for you to bring the kingdom of God to the people using the same means that you are using. He said, I will make you fishers of men. You have been fishing, fish. Now I want you to fish men. You have been treating people in the nursing home. Now I want you to treat people in the streets. Come on, praise the name of Jesus. You have been preparing people's taxes. Now I would like you to encourage them not to cheat in their taxes. And that's what is happening even, you know, now this January. We go February, we are now starting preparing our taxes. And you get your $28,000. And you feel good. Bring it here. Bring it here. We'll serve the Lord with it. But don't cheat. Praise the name of Jesus. You have been a driver. Take the people now to the ministry, to the mission work. Praise the name of Jesus. You have been bringing up children. Can you bring up the children of God? Their spirit, so that they may grow spiritually. Things that you are doing, Jesus does not want you to leave them. He wants you to become a fisher of men. He wants you to become the treater of men. He wants you to become a teacher of men. He wants you to become one that is bringing up people if you are bringing up children. Don't leave your vocation. These people, they did not forget how to fish. In fact, when Jesus died and they went to heaven, they went back fishing. They still had it. And so, what we all need to know. Let me put this, because I said I'm just going to speak just for a short time. What we all need to know is this, that God is not interested in depriving us of our income, our livelihood. He wants us to become a people that are using what he has given us in order for us to minister to each other. Praise the name of Jesus. The world is in need and desiring, my time is up, desiring the people that are going to show them the true way that Christ has called the church to follow. We have a problem with the people because many are looking for where there is a bigger group that I can join. Others are looking for places where there is healing that probably when I get healed, at least I'll be short of one problem. Others are looking for prosperity. They're looking for churches where prosperity is being spoken. Others are facing depression and they want a church that is going to speak a word of encouragement to their lives. People are looking for designers. They are not looking for the master. They are looking for things specifically. But I am telling you that Jesus is now calling the church back to its roots. This fellowship, we have served many, many needs. We have given people who are hungry. We have fed we have clothed the people. We have sent money to Kenya for relief work. We have done a whole lot of things. We have scholarships. But I am believing that now time has come that we now refocus our priorities. We got to go back to the streets. We got to go and reach out to the people that are out there that have no one that is speaking to. God is going to cause us, each one of us, to start reaching out to somebody that we are living together with. The problem is, there are so many people that are living with an unsaved people, and yet they have never even spoken one word. One! About the salvation of Jesus Christ. And they are struggling. They see them struggle. They see them fighting for, you know, ways of getting themselves out of difficult situations. But they will never, ever, even one time say that Jesus is able. Don't struggle anymore. Come to Jesus and he will give you that which you need. How many people are out there that are suffering right now? And when I see that we sometimes are fighting for those people that are just here, that we know. Oh, I want this one to follow me. I want this one to follow me because we think that they can sing well or they can preach. Come on, let's go out there and get those ones who have no one that is reaching them. That is what Fishers of Men is all about. We are changing now the mode here. This fellowship now is becoming a soul-winning fellowship. That's what it is. We're going to win souls. Because, you know, when we come here, we ask, how many people are saved? Everybody is. No. Now we want this house to be full of non-saved people. Kabisa. Because we would like them to have an encounter with Christ. And know this, that God is able to change any situation that you are facing in your life. And so from now on, this month, this year, our theme being, we are fishers of men. We are spending our time out there doing the work of the ministry. Bwana asifiwe sana. How many people are ready to go with us to reach out to the community? Because this community is in need. Do you know, probably you think that the only way, the only thing that you should reach out to these people for is salvation. There are many people who are in need of many things. But the only way you can reach their souls is reaching their need. And we want now to start reaching out our community with the services that we can. Already now we are giving the scholarship. We want to be able also to provide other social resources that people need. Our sister Patricia, one time she did a workshop, a very nice workshop, about how parents can choose schools for their children. How many people struggle with finding schools for your children? How many people find problems with finding, their babysitters and all that kind of thing? And we want this fellowship to be able to reach out. But most importantly, we want to deal with the hearts of men.